present is Representative Grunberg, Ellis, Cornell, Donnelly, and Representative Martinez join us. The first matter on the agenda is CS for House Bill 327. There's a proposed committee substitute members packets.
A new proposed committee?
The first time we've seen this bill.
What is this?
House Bill 327. And I'm going to move the adoption of the CS with the following changes to conceptual title amendment to tighten it up to make it clear that there's a designated open and a designated closed ballot. And on line 13, the insertion of the words prominently labeled between the word designated and that would appear again on line 15, page 2, prominently labeled between the words designated and and.
Oh, wait a second.
Is there any objection
yes.
to adoption of the committee substitute?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it, the first notice I've had of it. Would somebody please tell me, in some detail, what this bill does that the State Affairs Committee bill didn't do?
Well, it does exactly what the State Affairs Committee bill does, but it adds the word closed to the explanation of what the closed parliament.
Let's just go, if somebody, if Lori or you or somebody.
Page 2, line 16 is the only amendment, the insertion of the word closed.
Page 2, line 16. Okay. I have no objection to the adoption of the proposed CS as printed. And if you have some other amendments, appreciate
it. Well, I made a motion if you want to oppose the proposed.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you would.
I would state the motion again, incorporating a title change, conceptual title change, add the words open and closed. And on line 13, they add the words prominently labeled between the words designated and and. And on line 15, page 2, has the word prominently labeled between the words designated and and.
Oh, I don't have, okay, I have a problem with the title amendment you want to do. I don't have a problem with the other. The title at this point the way it is.
Okay, I'll amend my motion to delete the title change. Any objection? Any objection? The CS is before us. We've been joined by Representatives Hanley, Martin, and Miller. Okay, there's somebody signed up to testify about this
yeah.
bill. What's the will of the committee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have obviously
Grunberg.
Thank you. I have obviously a considerably different approach, and I'm not going to take the time of the committee to deal with it here. I'll deal with it on the floor, and my colleague, as it was in State Affairs, will be to amend, but I will be talking to all members individually.
Okay.
Why was your point on the hearing?
Well, I said I have a different approach, as the members are aware. And I'm not going to take the time of this committee because I want to believe it's important to get the bill to the floor. And I'll be signing it on the report and amend.
Okay. Representative Ellis made a motion to move the bill with individual recommendations. So discussion on the motion. Representative Martin.
No. We apologize for being late, but I did want to talk to some people from the Department of Law because of the concerns we had from the particular report that I saw on the paper, but I haven't seen in detail pertaining to what are the options of the Division of Election and the Lieutenant Governor. And it just seems to me I'm amazed that we're busting this out so quick. I thought that the most basic of all pieces of legislation should be something that had to do with the life of the people who vote. I'm not quite sure with this new piece of legislation, if we're closing or opening, or what are we doing? So I want to hear from either the Division of Election or the Attorney General's office. Are we going to be hung up with the piece of legislation, and are they going to be delayed in the potential of having an election just because of the federal constitution of the U.S. Justice Department? How does this impact? Does this have to go before the Justice Department?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Farnell?
I asked that same question of Representative Ewan, and he has a good answer for that. It's in Section 3. Maybe he'd like to.
Well, I know he has a good answer. Is there anyone from law allowed to talk to it? Anyone from Division of Election allowed to talk to it? You
well,
had an open meeting, not just a sponsor.
OK.
Okay, even though they didn't sign up, they're going to get a note here that there's somebody from Elections here. Does anybody at Elections want to sign in and come forward?
So the answer to the question is March 1st gives the time to do it. If that's your question.
Mr. Chairman, Laura Glazer, Division of Elections.
I'm going to pass this down to Ms. Glazer, have her sign up.
Representative Martin, through the chair, the question that you raised was, would the drafting of the ballot of this particular legislation, like the statute that was passed, go to?
Well, first question, would this new legislation cause us any problem with the U.S. Justice Department in complying with the Civil Rights Act of 1964-65? Do we have to have their blessings as far as you see what's in this?
Pre-clearance?
The changes that, when you change the law, Representative Martin, no, the rules, the party rules do have to go through the Department of Justice for clearance. If, in fact, the Lieutenant Governor were to enact his own regs, they would have to go to the Department of Justice.
How does this bill here differ from the current situation of voting?
Currently, we have an open ballot with all candidates listed on it, and all Alaskan voters are able to access that ballot.
Is this legislation different from that?
Representative Martin, through the chair. This legislation would provide that there would be, in fact, one ballot that was accessible to all Alaskan voters, and then a ballot that, as a party made a change in their rules, then and that party rule dictated which Alaskan voter could access their ballot, that would be the limitation on the percentage of voters that could access that particular ballot.
The current party rules, and I'm thinking of the Republican, and I ain't saying I'm for or against it, but it gives it the rules. Does that conflict with your intent of what type of ballot you want to have?
Representative Martin, no, because that would be as each party had a rule that addressed a change or the access of a voter to the ballot, they would be given a ballot separate, and as this legislation suggests, that ballot would be referred to as that party which has made the changes. So there would be currently an open ballot, open primary ballot, and a Republican ballot. And the only reason I can say that now I'm not a Democratic is the director was just given a letter from the Democratic Party, and they've withdrawn their rules, so they therefore are not bound to a separate ballot.
Are we down to a separate ballot or two ballots?
Two.
Republican one and the open
yes,
one.
Sir.
On the Republican ballot, what will be on that?
As this legislation would suggest.
And as the rule would suggest. Whatever they want.
I can't interpret the rule. This legislation would say that, in fact, Republican candidates would be on a Republican ballot, and all other candidates of those parties which have not had a rule but asked for a separate ballot would be on the other. So currently, if you were to read the rules the way they are now and submit it to the division, and to be fair, the division has a 5 p.m. deadline today for any changes in rules to be submitted. But right now, there would be a ballot with Alaskan Independents, Greens, and Democrats, according to this legislation, on one ballot, accessible by 100% of Alaskan voters. And then there would be a ballot that had Republican candidates that would be accessible by Republicans, nonpartisans, and undeclared.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's correct.
Having
studied both of the rules very carefully, there is nothing to prevent a Republican from running on the other ballot. So the Republicans would be able to run on both ballots. And on the Republican ballot, the rules provide that in order to run as a Republican, you have to be a Republican more than 6 months. So if a person is a Republican and has been a Republican less than 6 months, they couldn't run on the Republican ballot. The only ballot they could run on is the other ballot. But you could have an anomalous situation under this plan where the Republicans could run on both ballots, get nominated on both ballots, and be declared elected. Democrats wouldn't have that choice.
President Kavina, is that your understanding?
No, Mr. Chairman, it's not. As I understand everything that's happened to date, there would be, as Laura has said, one ballot with all parties that want to be in an open primary, and if a party, as the Republicans have asked, to have theirs closed, they would have their own ballot, and members of their party will be on that ballot, and anybody can vote for that ballot that their rule so says. And anyone can vote for the open one.
The question is...
Representative Grimberg?
Thank you. The question is, who can access the other ballot? And the other ballot, there's nothing in the rules of the Republican Party that limits a Republican to the Republican ballot only. And there's nothing, either in the law or the rules of any other party, that prevents a Republican from running on that ballot. I think it's very clear that a Republican could run, who's been a Republican more than 6 months, could run on both ballots.
Okay, Representative Martin and
Here we have the Lieutenant
Hanley.
Governor. Maybe you can answer the question.
Okay, well, why is him? Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, it became very clear, and I'm glad that we know this up for our discussion. Because obviously, two people who were prime leaders of the.
Can you take the chair?
Yeah. One was the Lieutenant Governor here, just on our way.
Representative Martin, you have the floor.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor, I deliberately held this up so I can get a better understanding of what will be done. And specifically, I asked the representative from the Division of Elections to come up, even though she wasn't signed up to do a single mix. But I think that we all here in the public have a right to know what we are passing and what your limitations are and what your responsibilities are. So specifically, sir, I want to know if there's going to be one ballot or two ballots. If there's going to be two ballots, what will be on them? And so far, I've gotten this, that there's going to be kind of a Democratic ballot with the AI and the Greens on it, and there's going to be a Republican ballot, but I don't know if the AI and the Greens are going to be on that one or not. And where can independent people of no party, 60%, choose either ballot?
Okay, let me, I don't know how far you've gone, Mr. Chairman. Thank
Very
you.
Very little.
Lieutenant Governor, do you want to address the committee in general or address that question?
I can address the question as well as the committee in general. 5 o'clock this evening is the deadline that we've given all of the four political parties in the state of Alaska the time to respond to us as to what rule they are going to adhere to for this primary election. It's an arbitrary date. We set it basically so that that's 30 days before the end of the filing deadline so that we can get on with the business of running the election. We understand that the Republican Party has a rule that came out of their convention. We understand that the Democrat Party is going to submit a new rule, but they've pulled back their pre-cleared rule, and so there is no rule. So that, as I understand it, we will get that clarification. I have all of the election people coming to the office at 4 o'clock this afternoon so that we can determine exactly where all four parties are as far as their rules, and we will be phoning all of them, and we will be asking all of them to respond to us because we have an election process. I wrote a letter to the chair of the Republican Party and said that, and do you have copies of this? Would you like to have copies?
It's in your packet.
It's in your packet.
Is it?
I don't
know.
That this letter is a response to your request to know what our current position is regarding the primary election. Secondly, you asked us to be specific about how the ballots would be printed. The Alaska statutes, and this is the position of this administration, is that the Alaska statutes are very clear that there shall be an open primary, and that we recognize the Taschen decision, and we will respond to the Taschen decision upon an order to establish a separate ballot. But I say the Alaska statutes describe an open primary as being being for the benefit of all of the people of Alaska. If one party wishes to close their nominating process in the primary election, the logic position for us to take is to provide a separate ballot. If a second party wishes to close its nominating process, then we would provide them with their separate ballot. There would then be a third ballot for the parties who wish to remain in the open primary system according to the statutes. All right. The ballots then would be as follows. There would be one ballot with only the Republican candidates listed, one ballot with only the Democrat candidates listed, one ballot with the Alaska Independence candidates and the Green candidates listed. Now, this is as of my writing, as of the 22nd of April. This was response to Mrs. Zawacki, who wanted to take this to the Republican convention. Our desire is to provide the people of Alaska with the clearest balloting process possible to prevent disenfranchising the electorate. The open primary has been in effect in Alaska for 25 years, and the clearest way to change that process would be the open classic approach with having separate ballots. If you have any further questions, we'd be glad to answer them. That went to Joe Vogler, Rhonda Robertson, Lonnie Roberts, the Green Party. So that went to all of the parties so that they have a clear understanding of where we're at. Now, the position that we're taking on this is that we are upholding the statutes of the state of Alaska. I'm a constitutionalist, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe in the fact that if there is a policy change in that primary process, it's up to you folks. I just administer the laws. I don't make the laws. And the thing is that if you want to make accommodations for the Cashin case, then make it in the legislative process like you have in your bill. If you folks fail to create a process, then I will have to go to the court for a judgment in order to be able to follow the Cashin case. Don't know whether it's mandatory or whether it isn't, but right now, I would say, as a longtime legislator, the ball's in your court, folks.
Okay, at this time I make an announcement. It's real clear we're not going to be able to get to 5:40 today, and I imagine there's a lot of people in the audience for that, so we're not going to be taking that up today. We're running out of time. So, Representative Martin and then Representative Hanley still in line to speak.
I have two major questions. First, Lieutenant Governor, with passage of this bill, number one, it's a House bill. We've got a long way to go. Would this confuse the issue for you? I think you got dissolved. You got whatever you think you need. I don't know how this bill will help you or hurt you. It'll hold up things.
That bill would clarify the position. Basically, I've worked with Dean Cavini on from his committee on that particular bill on the basis that it would clarify the time structures we have to go, and it would clarify that the open primary is the position of the state of Alaska, and if there is a decision made from a court case, then they would have to accommodate according to that statute. Now, the bulk of that, the meat of that statute is on the second page. That would define separate ballots for parties that wish to separate themselves from the open primary.
And the second question, then I'll shut up. Lieutenant Governor, isn't it possible, from what you said, not to have to move this down to just two ballots? You have one with the Democrats and the free choice of AIs and the Greenies and Independents. Then you have the other ballot with Republicans that still has the AIs, the Greenies, and Independents. So basically, you have just two ballots.
Well, I don't think.
And then one has the free choice of which one they want to grant.
Chairman, to respond to that, it just doesn't logically work out if you've got a party that says no other party can access my primary, to have those people on the same ballot. The thing is that the Republican Party says, and I can read it to you, I've got it right here, the Republican Party rule says only registered Republicans, registered independents, and there is no such thing in the state as a registered independent, and those that state no party preference, and it's an NP is what it amounts to, party affiliation shall be allowed to vote in the Republican primary election. Now, Cashin has only to do with the right of association and the right of free association in the Constitution, the United States Constitution, which allows them to separate themselves from the, from the common flow. And the common flow is the open primary. And so if you're going to restrict the Greens and the Democrats and the AIPs from accessing that ballot, they have no right being on that ballot either.
Well, I didn't know. As I told him before, only because it's because in front of us in a committee, I've done my darndest to stay on whether this and from this. But I do think that this morning...
I would like to also.
Yeah, you're in the middle, though. But I do think it can be simplified so that the maximum amount of voter participation in the primary is there, but then still have kind of a closed primary for both the two major parties. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, Representative Hanley.
Mine was to represent a Grunberg statement, which I thought was incorrect.
I've been pointed out that was... I was
Representative Grunberg. Did you want to address the committee?
Yeah, I was incorrect on what I said under the bill, and I apologize to the sponsor. Is this the only approach, if I may ask Lieutenant Governor, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, is the bill before you the only approach that you're familiar with on this subject?
No, it's, Mr. Chairman, no, it's not. I'm also familiar, Representative, with your approach, which is not quite Louisiana, but halfway in Louisiana. Maybe we could say it's Oklahoma because that's
what are you doing about that?
Well, I talked to the governor about that this morning, and I think that it's probably the clearest way to go, but it's the most radical way to go. And we've only got 30 days left until the primary election process has to kick in. I think it's too radical a change for this time. I've told you that before. I took the bullets to the governor this morning, and we talked about the primary election because there's been it's like lightning. There's been all kinds of different directions that this thing's coming from, and when we've zeroed in on the fact is that what is the administration's position? The administration's position is open primary. We will facilitate what has to happen to the passion under either the legislative direction or the court direction.
Representative Parnell?
I haven't quite with respect to whether it could be implemented for this current election, is it immediate effect of it?
That's our biggest
What would be, it seems to me that very little would have to be done to implement the current session, the current election. You'd have one ballot just as you do now. The only question would be, who goes on to the general? What would be so difficult about administering that?
Well, not Mr. Chairman, Gruber, not very much, except the House and the Senate Finance Committee took $573,000 out of our budget, which is the election, which is the educational process for the primary that we were going to do. And hey, we're stripped of any funds for educational process for this primary election. So we better stay with the open primary.
I understand, but assuming your choices are only one or the other,
I've got a calendar here.
Are you not going to have to spend some money to educate the public? Wouldn't it be the case that mine would be no more expensive, certainly, than the other?
Oh, probably not. No.
So what would be the problem about implementing it this order?
The only thing I could say is that on the public record, we would have no problem with that. It's just that the implementation of it seems like we're on the short list.
Would there be any greater problem in implementing my approach than Representative Venus?
I think that the approach, the closest to the open primary that we have right now is the approach that's in this bill here. Your bill has got the most radicals.
You feel that this system of two ballots is closer to the open primary than mine is?
That's not what I said.
Okay, well, why don't you say again?
What I'm saying is that this accommodates cash, this bill, the way you have it written that came out of State Affairs, accommodates the existing law and cash more clearly than the approach that you're taking. I haven't seen your bill except for the outlines.
assuming it's just what you've seen. I've given you copies. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've given you copies of the bill. Haven't I?
Yeah.
And it's
Well, it's the same, but you said you modified.
No, the only modification is that we no longer have the 50% provision, the winner-take-all provision. So that's out. Otherwise, it is the same. We call it now a primary election rather than a preliminary election, but that's just the terminology. So in other words, are we still? Yes.
This means I'm going to go on another 10 minutes.
Okay. Enough said.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lieutenant Governor, just so the committee understands, I was approached by Mr. Hughes this morning, who said, and I wanted to make sure you agreed with this, that the governor does support an open primary, but he also said that this vehicle appeared to be the best one that they saw to go forward this year's election, and they did endorse this bill with that general thing that they really want an open primary completely. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're still back to the question of whether or not to have a different title or not on the bill. What else to do?
Mr. Chairman, is the debate on the title or do
just felt that I'd like to see a title that was a little tighter, that designated that you're going to have two ballots, one designated as open, one designated, and another one designated as closed for each party that chose to so close the ballot.
You know, I felt that the current title I prefer.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to push it then.
My amendment is to substitute my bill for this bill. I take that as a sign of disapproval.
I thought it was going to be a compromise.
It looks like we have the votes to defeat that, so let's get moving here.
Okay,
I call the question on the motion.
The motion before us is to move the bill with individual recommendations. Any objection? Hearing no objection, motion carries. Right.
Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe we could get, let's take up, what the hell is it, 469, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do 469. Is anybody from Representative Parnell's office here?
Where was he?
Could my staff locate Representative Parnell? Come back.
What are you here to do?
469. Okay, we don't have any LCS. The bill's before us. We talked about it last meeting. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll move it.
Any objections? Motion to move the bill with individual recommendations. Objection carries.
Just let the committee.
I know there must be somebody out there that's here for this economic benefit and subsistence. Okay. Is there anybody here to speak for on behalf of the sponsor, whoever proposes this? Yeah. Well, let's try another one. How about, longevity bonus program regulations. Anybody here for that one?
Yeah.
Tell us what this one does.
Yeah, here's the
569. Thank you.
569, I believe there is somebody here for 569.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Barbara Bittman. I'm here to represent Senator Kraft. HP 569 is a bill that was introduced by the House Rules Committee by request of Abby Rager Review. And this is a bill that would bring the longevity bonus program under the APA in adopting regulations. Right now, they're exempt from the APA, and what is required under that is public notice, public hearing process, review by Department of Law, and filing by the Lieutenant Governor. And right now, they can adopt regulations however they choose. And that's just a simple explanation of what the bill would do. The committee reviewed some regulations, and that's how it came about that we found out it was exempt from these procedures. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Okay. We'll look at committee. Anybody else in the public want to testify on this?
I'll move it out.
Okay, nobody else wants to testify? Motion to move the bill within with the recommendation?
I'll move.
Any objection? Not objection, motion carries.
New senior citizens here.
Was Representative Kabina the sponsor of this other one, or the economic benefit and subsistence? Do you want to address the committee on that?
Would you like to hang it up? I think we have to.
467.
Chairman, House Bill 467 is an technical amendment bill. It's not intended to change the meaning of existing law, and it will not do so. The bill amends current law, which already states that to the extent a spill damages a subsistence economy, and such damage is measurable in economic terms, the spiller must pay for those damages. That is already the law today, and House Bill 467 will not change that law. All House Bill 467 will do is to make it perfectly clear that these sorts of damages certainly involve more than simple dollar value of salmon, duck meat, moose meat, etc. I have a longer statement, Mr. Chairman, but I think that hits the gist of it. The law has not changed. The Department of Law has so testified. It just puts another example into the books.
Okay.
Representative Hanley. Yes, Chairman, I'm concerned about, if that's just the gist of it, why are we going back to March 24th, 89, as far as when we want to make it clear? If there's problems, litigation arising from this, or concerns with certain incidents, then...
I'll explain that, Mr. Chairman. The administrator of the federal oil spill, that $100 million fund that was set up to cover damages to spills, made a footnote in a ruling that addressed this issue, and he said point blank that he did not feel like the subsistence value could be paid out of the fund. Now, we weren't using state law at that time. This was under federal law. And he addressed the state law. The Attorney General has addressed the previous committee on this and saying why he addressed that, he has no idea. But again, this bill does not change it, but it puts it just an example, a second example into the law. And it would revert back because of obviously referring to that period of time. So while it doesn't change the law, it just gives a separate example. This administrator bringing up the point is why this bill came about.
What? Who is Judge Gibbons?
He is the administrator of that of the oil spill. I forget what it's called. He's a retired judge.
So he was acting as a hearing officer?
Correct. He's the one that's hearing all the things for that $100 million oil liability fund.
Do we have here, or did he render a written? You said there was a
yes, and it should be in your packet there. Footnote at the bottom of this ruling.
Well, that's Craig Tiller.
Memorandum of Law, Administrator of the Exxon Valdez Claims. Dated November 12th.
Hey, did you address the committee?
I don't seem to have his response.
I'm just saying it's in the Department of Law memo.
You don't have that?
No,
I don't
see it.
The Department of Law memo.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. They shut that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Discusses it.
It's on the first page of the Department of Law memo.
This is the March 20 letter from Craig Tiller?
Yeah, page 2.
Craig Tillery also addressed it. Mr. Chairman, I know the Resource Development Council had some concern about this, that people saw it send out signals that, geez, what are we going to have to do, timber companies, et cetera. This is only addressing oil spills and oil spills only.
But this was
well, we're running out of time. I was wondering if the committee feels comfortable. If they don't feel comfortable, we can hold it over.
I got major fights in today.
Okay.
I understand the concept.
Not a simple.
Okay.
Can I ask
I'm
a question?
Simple, but it ain't.
Well, why don't we? We can do that one to one. I'm sure the sponsor should be able to answer things in more
like
detail.
Copy the opinion, so
yeah.
Being ran off.
Well,
why are you closing so long?
Because we're going to close it.
Oh.
So. Thank you very much for.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You got my bill.
Is the UCC bill yours, Representative Martin? 294.
You
can take that now if you want to. Is anybody here to talk about the UCC?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
secretary, I'm getting criticized for getting the packet. Bill history's out late, so I feel like I need to go get him out. So
well, you
can't really criticize me anymore.
Yeah, you.
Can you convince us in about 2 minutes that there's nothing suspicious in this bill and we should do it?
Yes, sir.
What bill is it?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Gary Amendola with the Department of Law. I'm here to speak. It's on House Bill 294. Basically, it establishes a statutory regime for certain financial transactions that now have only the very sketchiest of laws to guide them. And those basically are funds transfers between banks. And we're talking about very large sums of money that transfer between banks at the request of usually corporations, sometimes governments. This statutory scheme is one that was recommended and actually written by the Conference on Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. It has their backing as well as the backing of a number of other legal groups. It would amend the UCC, and it is another example of their attempts to make uniform state laws in the area of financial transactions and other business transactions. Mr. Chairman, it's probably the best way to explain what it does, or one of the best ways to tell you about this is to explain what it doesn't do. It doesn't deal with normal credit card transactions, and it doesn't deal with banking practices that we have with the bank. This is strictly for funds transferred between banks. The administration supports this bill, and we recommend that it be passed out.
Representative Thornburg?
Yes. Okay. Let's focus on Section 15 of the bill. Section 15.
Representative Grunberg, we're losing our quorum. I'm going to appoint you as subcommittee, give this bill to you to research it and report back to the Judiciary Committee on Monday.
Okay.
And
we will have a meeting on this tomorrow, immediately to follow floor session.
Okay.
Can we
I'm
use this room?
Appoint, I guess so.
Thank you.
I'm going to appoint a subcommittee of Representative Grunberg. Representative Miller, are you interested in this 540 stuff at all?
540?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, a subcommittee of Representative Miller and Representative Grunberg and myself to look at the 540 bill.
Okay.
See if we can put something together. I have talked to Senator Cotton about this. We're expecting a position paper from the governor like this afternoon on that bill, too, of what the governor feels we should do with 540.
Is there anybody who has a glutton for punishment and wants to be on this puppy with me, this 294? Okay, I'll do it.
Volunteers are welcome.
You want to be
that
on?
Means
no,
adjourned.
No,
everything
yes.
else on the calendar is
held. Gary? We will meet here immediately to follow floor session tomorrow. Can you be here?
Yeah.